reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 5, Texts 9 and 10. Narada has begun speaking to Vyas, explaining the cause of his despondency. As Prabhupada said, Narada already gave a hint as to the cause of his despondency. That's text 2. Narada inquired, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? So the covering of the soul to be the soul and the interest of the self is just the covering. So that's the hint. In text number 8, which we read yesterday, Narada again resumed speaking. You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Kilam. Darshanam Kilam. So now in 9, Prabhupada is saying in his purport, this is the prompt diagnosis of Narada. Seems like he's already said it, but he's now saying it. In contrast, you've done. So text 2 is misidentifying the body or the mind as the object of self-realization, which it's not. Then, secondly, not sufficiently glorifying, not actually broadcasting the sublime and spotless glories of the Lord. Which is ill reason, because Vyasa says he knows. He has all the qualification to know. So here, text 9, Narada continues, although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva, which he said in text 8. Prabhupada writes, the prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. Now, the next sentence is, certainly he did mention the Lord and his glories in the other Puranas. Some of them more than others. But, in contrast, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha receive much more attention, what to speak of within the Vedas themselves, the four Vedas. He writes, these four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. And then Vyasadeva knew very well. And still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time. And thus he was despondent. From this, it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in devotional service of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, each of them have some desire, a selfish desire. In the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta, because there's selfish desire in each of those, sense gratification, liberation, mystic siddhis. One cannot be peaceful when the mind is agitated by those desires. So, even liberation, I want out of here. Too much trouble. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, etc., one is engaged in pure devotional service. This is called the stage of self-realization, or the Brahmabhuta stage. Interesting. The stage of self-realization, meaning liberation is not self-realization, or the activities one in the liberated state is. So, liberation, self-realization, or devotional service. The Brahmabhuta, Prasanatma. Prasanatma. This message is a theme in the second chapter of the first canto. Yenatma suprasidati, yayatma suprasidati, suprasanam. Satisfaction of the self. Satisfaction of the self is defined in those verses where the master is satisfied, and that's one's satisfaction. The satisfaction is the satisfaction of the beloved. That's satisfaction. And everyone wants satisfied. The mystery is satisfaction is achieved when the constitutional satisfaction of the soul is, that's our loving propensity is fulfilled. The beloved, the object of love, and their satisfaction is attained. Then there's satisfaction. Now, so liberation is simply the cessation of the interruption of the suspension of, better word, suspension of the forces of the modes of nature, forces of karma. It's a state of neutrality. But then, once in that liberated state, what do? Just twinkle like a star in the sky. Or what do you do? Because the constitutional position of happiness of the soul is a loving relationship with the Supreme. That's the after liberation position. That's the Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. The Prasanatma. The happiness of the soul, Prasanatma. Called the Brahmabhuta stage. And what is that Brahmabhuta stage symptomized by? Na sochati, na kangsati, in relation to material things, no hankering, no lamentation. With the Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, there's hankering and there's lamentation. So beyond that is the Brahmabhuta stage, na sochati na kansati. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate. One attains bhakti. Then bhakti transcendental. Mad Bhaktim Bhavate Param. So Prabhupada writes, after attainment of this Brahma Bhuta stage, one is satisfied. That is to say, the liberated stage is not satisfying. That is to say, Vyas, the liberated soul, who spoke about Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, was not satisfied. Did you catch that? Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is not the position of satisfaction, because it's another hankering. Or bhakti mukti siddhi kami. So even those that are striving for absolute neutrality, like indifference to everything and everything is all one and all that, there's this hankering for liberation, you know, the relief from the harassment of the material energy. It's still self-centered. It has to be self-centered, because what's the option? The option is it. Brahman. So nirvishesha and shunyavadi, the impersonalism and voidism. It's, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, when one has to be overcome attachment, fear, and anger, vitaraga vaya krodha, that impersonal philosophy, impersonalism and voidism, is born of frustration. I don't want out of here. But that's another I want. And the relief of that I want is to become situated in love, where the desire of the beloved, and not just something artificial, but the supreme beloved on the spiritual platform. Then the sojatina kansati, and then there can be satisfaction. Otherwise, satisfaction is covered by dissatisfaction in the name of happiness. I want. It's very clever. The packaging, gross and subtle, is got a double lock on it. But satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. This is samak sarvesha bhuteshu. But that's, how does that samak sarvesha bhuteshu happen? How does one become equally disposed to all living entities? It's not by something cosmetic. It's not by saying, oh, universal brotherhood. The sentiment is nice. The actual being situated on that platform is possible. We can say it reverse also. It is possible only through connecting in devotional service to the Supreme. State reverse. It is not possible simply by mental adjustment, by thinking, oh, that's a lofty ideal. Let's go for that one. Universal brotherhood. Let's have a universal brotherhood society. The sentiment is nice, but it won't factually be manifested without a factual connection with the Supreme. The soul going beyond, even going beyond, not like abandoning religiosity, but going beyond that as a purpose, because the purpose of religiosity unless one has this higher purposes, the curiosity for economic improvement, and economic improvement for a sense happiness and pleasure, and ultimately liberation. The list of I wants in different arenas of progressive life. And so the spirit is, the wish is not to kill the spirit of the soul. You can't do that anyways. There's no instrument that can kill the soul. To anesthetize, to chloroform the soul. And so there's no desire. It's also not possible. The soul, in relation to the, was the constitutional natural position of the soul in that relationship with the Supreme. This is what Narada is saying to Vyas. You wrote all this other stuff, which is Vedic, but an improportionate amount of emphasis on those things. Yes, some sprinkling of glorification of the Lord, but quite insufficient. And as mentioned already yesterday, if you're not satisfied, what about your readers? You're the liberated soul. You know the deeper meaning, but you inappropriately, in an unreasoned manner, too much emphasis. So help those souls who are your audience come to the stage of suprasana, real satisfaction, even in the stage of Kali. How? Glorification. And then what's coming up is glorification in so many departments of knowledge. That's fine. So many departments of knowledge, because departments of knowledge, where does that knowledge come from? And what is the object of that knowledge? Even if it's matter, where does that come from? So show the connection with the Supreme, and show how that knowledge can be used in service to the Supreme. Then we'll find neutrality and equality in the relative world. Then, after passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the instruction of the Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma Parityaja, that instruction. The conclusion is, here we go, two sentences. That in order to maintain the status quo Brahmabhuta stage, as also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyas that Vyas should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from all gross despondency. In order to maintain the status quo of Brahma-Bhuta stage, so not like theoretically ponder it. Oh, look out there, there's this stage, isn't that nice? But to actually attain it and stay there. As well as to increase in that region of Brahma-Bhuta the fullness of realizations for both, you know, the means to attain and the means to expand the realization of the Brahma-Bhuta stage. That recommendation is eagerly and repeatedly describing the path of devotional service. One more verse, text 9. another a very beautiful poetic verse from the Bhagavatam. Na yad vachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragranita karhichit, etc. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for the crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. I've heard Prabhupada lecture on this many times. This verse and the next one is the literature that's literature for the swans. So in the purport is the swans and the crows. And the crows have this nature, the swans have that nature. And he writes, nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up in the same rank and file. We don't find crows in places where swans go. We don't find swans in places where crows go. You know, a lot of what goes on in America, you don't see the stark reality of things, but in India you do. You know, the sanitation of big cities is unsanitary with garbage disposal. It's just amazing what people, you know, and it still goes on. There's big cities, modern cities, that people just, whatever garbage they have, they take it in a thing and just turn it upside down and dump it on the street. The next person comes and dumps it on the street. The next person comes and dumps it on the street. And just got a big pile of garbage. You see the rats running around. Then a big truck comes along. And the guy's got a big shovel and puts the big shovel into a basket. Puts the basket on his head, and then the basket goes into the truck until, you know, they finish up most. And there's still some garbage left on the ground, and then the truck rolls off. You know, and the rats run around and grab the garbage, and the crows come and grab the garbage, and we don't see any swans there. No swans. Like, there isn't a sign that says, no swans allowed. Only crows. But then, that's what happens. And Prabhupada's comment on the literature side is, The literature for crows, he includes his papers. So you have these garbage piles, and there's some paper sticking up, and the crows sitting there looking and reading the paper. But we don't find scripture in the garbage pile, nor the crows reading the scripture. They're just, you know, it's the birds of a feather flock together, and he uses that phrase. That where the swans are, they're in the atmosphere of natural scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers in variegated colors of natural beauty. That is the difference between the two classes of birds. Then, same way, two classes of men. And in this way, also species all the way down are different. And that's by nature's influence. So, if there are crow-like people and you provide swan-like literature, they're not interested. If you provide crow-like literature, the crow-like people are very interested. And he didn't go too much into it, but he does characterize what crow-like literature is like. The essence of it is that it's something in relation to the body of the mind. And making the body decorated nicely or the mind decorated nicely. And so there are literary ornaments. In the Sanskrit term, it's alankar. So crow-like literature may be full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphoric arrangements. Yet with all of that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered a decoration of a dead body. So when, at least in some cultures, when someone dies, they do this ghastly thing of draining this and pumping in formaldehyde and then decorating the body very nicely. And that effort of decorating the body very nicely is what he's described, comparing to mundane literature. It's attractive for persons who are spiritually dead. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures. These literatures are in the mode of passion and ignorance and are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being. And thus, the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. It's like the message of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. What is daytime for the introspective soul is nighttime for the ordinary man, and then vice versa. One man's food is another man's poison, is another perspective. So Narada is instructing Vyas to write one swan-like literature. Just swan-like. No mixing. No garbage, no decoration of dead body, no attracted to the body and mind gratification platform. Simply on the platform, the soul's suprasana. One little paragraph here. Social, literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers, and politicians who are completely absorbed in material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. Nice poetic imagery. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhar, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. The attraction to the platform of the body or the mind, even for the, you know, the philosophers and literature poets. You know, the topic of romance certainly has captivated their imaginations. And therefore, the comment of Sridhar Swami. It's unavoidable. If the platform of the soul is lost, then where do you go from there? The consciousness will become attracted to something else. However lofty the ideas when they dwell in, there's it's rooted in physical attraction, subtle or gross physical attraction. So there's an antidote from a literary perspective. The antidote is literature that's directed towards the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Coming up, I mentioned this earlier, but I'll repeat it. Coming up is, it's not just, say, the portion of the Vedas that's directly describing the soul and the soul's relation with the Supreme. It's also literature, transcendental literature, that describes the features of creation and how the features of creation have their connection with the Supreme and can be appreciated and utilized in connection with the Supreme. We discussed this yesterday with the bridge outreach idea. How to help persons who have some fascinations, even some ornament of ability or attraction or expertise in some field of the material energy, as their a perk from their piety, and somehow they value that, to help those persons see the connection to the Supreme, appreciate that valuable thing that they have, and so meet them on their ground, but also see how it can be utilized in relation to the Supreme, and thus bring real satisfaction, far more than just exhibiting some ornament and playing with it, but connecting that to the Supreme. That's our service while moving about this world. Hare Krishna. Any discussion?
I have a couple of questions. The first question is a clarification question on the Pranubhuta platform, which is the happiness of the soul platform. And you mentioned that, like, that happiness of the soul platform is transcending actually the liberation platform. It's beyond the liberation. So would it be fair to say that, like, the Brahman platform is beyond liberation? Is that what the understanding is?
I'm trying to listen carefully to your question, and I don't see the distinction. Are you looking to say, can we interchange Brahma-Bhuta with Brahman platform? That's what you're asking?
My understanding was that Brahman platform was the same as Brahma-Bhuta platform.
And that's what you're asking for confirmation?
So if that is so, then the point is that, like, if it is the platform of satisfaction and happiness of the soul, then it is beyond liberation, and therefore that platform is beyond liberation. I'm just trying to understand.
Jiva Goswami describes the complete understanding of Brahman is, it implies Bhagavan, as much as the rays of the sun imply the sun. The sun is up, so the sun light is coming in the room. There is a distinction between the sun light that's in the room and the sun. The sun is not in the room, we'd be incinerated. But the sun is present through the medium of the light of the sun. We can understand the presence of the sun through the presence of the light of the sun. Similarly, Brahman, as being like the light, gives us the indication of the presence of Bhagavan. From a Vaishnava perspective, whenever the term Brahman is used, it implies Bhagavan. For one who is not a Vaishnav, one who hears the term Brahman, that's it. And so, from a Vaishnava perspective, your understanding is correct. From one who's not a Vaishnav, it's not the same. Or they would say, actually, that Brahma-Bhuta stage is Brahman realization, and there's no Bhagavan. what we're hearing in the Bhagavatam this morning is the Brahma-Bhuta stage is beyond the stage of liberation. And so the conventional sense is a little bit like the issue that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had with Vyasadeva's explaining that verse, Mukti Pade, you should have said Bhakti Pade, because when people hear Mukti, they think merging. Where you lose your identity and it's all one. And that's abhorrent. I mean, he was saying like that. So I should have said Bhakti Pade. Vyas made a mistake. Something else?
The second question is more related to that point of Ilam that you have been discussing yesterday. That so far, whatever Vyasadeva has described, it was just targeted towards body and mind, and therefore
primarily. He did mention other things. He did have, there are in the other Puranas, there's mention of the personality of God. It just language is that it's too much emphasis on Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Go ahead.
Okay. So my question was that, like, so apart from Srimad Bhagavatam, the rest of the Vedas are practically can be attributed to Kilam. Is that the correct understanding?
No. Our acharyas have the swan-like persons make references from other literatures where that understanding is also present. Particularly the Sattvic Puranas. But even Rajasic and Tamasic Puranas. And very carefully they avoid the rest. And persons that aren't swan-like going to read the Skanda Purana, or, you know, this Purana, that Purana, can get very confused. That can. They get very confused. Something else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, thank you very much for giving us access to the literatures. And I was thinking from the yesterday's class that how your own example is that bridge connection. I can see my life where I was 6 years ago and where I am right now. Thank you very much for giving personal care and at the level of soul. My question is on the concept of reaching the soul platform and acting from the platform of the soul is very attractive. But at the same time, there's how to practically have that realization. And,
how to practically have the realization? By the process of Krishna consciousness.
Is it really possible in our
life? Yes. Not only possible, our acharyas want to give it to us. That's their dedication. There may be perfected souls that are simply, you know, experiencing transcendental bliss without sending any signals back. But there's a whole host of our disciplic succession. They're sending so many signals. Hey, come on. And you're saying, is it possible? Possible. And they're giving the practical means whereby it can be done. And a major component of that practical means whereby it can be done is their mercy.
because without their mercy, even you have a nap. You know, you got fuel in your tank. You can just go. But still, you may not, without mercy. You may be inspired. That's the fuel in the tank. I want to get there. But there has to be eagerness to receive that mercy, because that's the primary means, along with our endeavors. Being eager to receive mercy. Anything else? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, I would like to share with you a couple of observations that I've made in my experience of extending to others. One is when some people start, say, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, some of the strong statements, you know, they're not able to relate to. So that's one observation. Another is when, say, newcomers come to the temple and then check out the books that are there in the gift shop and so on, there is this tendency to go to, you know, very esoteric subject matters and without reading the basic literatures. So I was wondering, is it reasonable, say for my own case and say those I'm extending to have like
bridge literature
and also have this conception of, okay, these literatures are meant for Kanishtha Adhikaris, these are meant
for... No, not Kanishtha. It's you need to be selective. As someone guiding others, you need to be selective. You know, if they're actually eager to learn, they'll inquire, what should I read? Where should I have my attention go? And you direct their attention to where their attention should go. And as far as strong statements, Prabhupada's the MD. And then we're the assistant. So we can explain to the patient, here's why the MD has recommended this medicine. We need a strong antidote for this disease here. Or whatever you feel is the person needs to hear. Now, bridge literature, sure. But you know, at some point they're going to have to read those strong statements.
So what can constitute those bridge literatures? Are those just extensions of Srila Prabhupada's books?
Yes. Or authors that are writing other things.
Can it be like commentaries on Bhagavad Gita meant for certain sections or something?
That's one approach. They're using that approach at 26 or New York City, Manhattan devotees. They just don't allow, they do not cover certain verses when they're doing their discussions.
Hmm.
Just like, That's I'm not. I'd rather be direct with people and say, here's a tough spot. Here's what it's about. The BBT had decided to handle some of that by making a website where those things that ruffle people's feathers, there's some explanatory notes. Because there was some discussion about this, put explanatory notes in compendium in the back or, the bottom or something. And they didn't, they decided not to do that. Science of self-realization is largely, because it's Prabhupada having discussions with people, largely, or a big section of it. So he's, you know, there's that sensitivity built in already. Anyway, you can be selective, or just go through and explain. Something else? Yes.
Thank you very much for taking me through the struggle that I'm unfortunately going through. You were speaking about satisfaction covered dissatisfaction. The moments like where experience the satisfaction in the relationship, it's so strong that most of the times when I feel the dissatisfaction, it's so much of painful. It's so much of pain. So what can I do other than just being patient with myself?
What can you do when?
When I feel the dissatisfaction in the relationship.
Remember Vyasadeva? That's one thing you can do. If you're feeling, you know, what to speak of yourself, even Vyasadeva. So with that you can feel, oh, what's the use? I better just jump into a river or something. But you could also think, if Vyasa is put into that situation for a reason, to show us where, what's the root of our dissatisfaction. Then you just, you know, press the reset button. That's what Narada is doing with Vyasa, pressing his reset button. Haven't been sufficiently glorifying the personality of Godhead, so you're feeling despondency. So don't stay in the space of despondency. Start glorifying the personality of Godhead directly. Without hesitation, without meaning, don't let more time pass when you're not doing that, and thus more feelings of despondency. And take a look at the sadhana that you do every day. It's not just, it's not catechism, it's not just a routine of something that's, you know, to make your life pious. It's direct outlets for glorifying the Supreme, just like chanting japa. One of the students came yesterday, one fellow was chanting, the tall, thin, he was very patient while the others were talking so much, but he, you know, his question was how to improve his chanting. So, chant from the heart. Make, you know, let the simple, the arati, the offerings, and the cooking, and the, each of the everything that you do each day, let it come from that place. Cultivate like that. Then there's no room for this despondency. The despondency is when that's forgotten. So don't remain there. Reset button. Okay, now. And cultivate on a regular basis in the proper way. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.